2 Samuel 17, we're going to consider the one that we did not take up Lord's Day evening that had to do with furnishing David food and drink. And so we'll read about Barzillai and two of his companions in 2 Samuel 17. Look at verse 27. I would like to read the three passages, one in 17, one in 19, and then the brief portion in 1 Kings 2. Verse 27. And it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobib the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Maker the son of Amiel of Lodibar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogalim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and meal and parched grain and beans and lentils and parched salts and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of the herd for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Now, chapter 19. We're not told chronologically how long this war with Absalom lasted, but at least a few months. And now in chapter 19, verse 31, it says, I should let you read this verse first. Look at verse 18. And they went over a ferry boat to bring over the king's household and to do what he thought good. So there's this little ferry boat. Verse 31. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogalim, and he went over the Jordan with the king to conduct him over the Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. And he had provided the king with sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. Please notice, not just one visit, but while the king was at Mahanaim, it said he had provided the king with sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will sustain thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how many are the days of the years of my life that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. Can I discern between good and bad? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant would but just go over the Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which seemeth good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over the Jordan, and the king went over. And the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Now, the last words upon the lips of David, let's turn to 2 Kings. Well, 1 Kings, the second chapter. 1 Kings, the second chapter. He's giving instructions to his son Solomon. Look at verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. And among the things that he tells him to do, look at verse 7. But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled from Absalom, thy brother. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these portions that we read in the Word of God about some men that are noble in character, that are worthy. And we are thankful when we read of such that come into the life of David. We've read of Shimei, and we've read of others like Doeg and our God. We shudder to think of those that are associated with David, the harm they did. And yet we're thankful that there were those men of stature like Barzillai, and we desire to learn somewhat of him this night. So bless our study together, we pray, as we commit all into thy hands, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. If you look and try to find out where Maker and Rabbah and Roglim are, you'll find that all of them, north and south, according to those that determine such things, are about 25 miles from Mahanaim, where David was staying. And the difference between this and the other portions about provision of food for David, you remember how a request was made for Nabal, and Nabal refused. And then you remember also the request that was made of Ahimelech, and that was given, but with such dread consequences. But here, and this is what is so admirable, without David ever asking for a thing, these men 25 miles away hear that he is fleeing from his son Absalom, and they realize what has happened, leaving Jerusalem, traveling across the Jordan, and going north to Mahanaim, and they understand all that's involved. And this thought arises in their heart. May it ever be like the thoughts in our hearts. These men are hungry, and they are weary, and they are thirsty in the wilderness. And they said, we're going to do something about it. This is delightful for the reason Sunday we read about the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 12, and he was hungry, and his disciples were hungry. But instead of anybody coming to their assistance, they were set upon with criticism. Why are your disciples violating the Sabbath? It's because they were hungry, that is why, and nobody had done anything for them. We can't go into those details again. But please notice the difference of some that are of Israel, and some that would criticize, and some, when they realize that a man is probably hungry and weary, they do something about it. And you have never seen such an abundant supply of good things, and God lists each one. Isn't that remarkable? So many things we want to know in the Word of God, and how much would we give to have one verse of Scripture giving us an important answer to some deep question that's hard to answer. And yet, it says that these three men came to the assistance of David, and it said they brought beds, and they brought basins, and earthen vessels, and they brought wheat and barley, and they brought parched pots and grain and honey and sheep, and it goes on and on and on. Isn't that remarkable? That God remembers and has it recorded everything that these men brought to the man after his own heart when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. And do you remember what the Lord Jesus says? If somebody would give you so much as a cup of cold water in my name, he said, you shall in no wise lose your reward. And Barzillai is immortalized because at a time in his life, in his old age, there is compassion in his heart. He takes thought for the things of others. Look not on your own things, but look upon the things of others. And that is what he does. And there are two others. One of them we know nothing about, Shobi, a robber. We know nothing about him. But we do know about Maker of Lodibar. This is the second time his generosity is mentioned. Because when Saul and his sons were killed, Nathan had a son named Mephibosheth that was laid in his feet. And when David said, is there any one of the household of Saul that I may show kindness unto them? And they said, yes, there is Mephibosheth, the son of Nathan. It says that he is dwelling with Maker in Lodibar. So this is a lovely thought, that Maker is one who saw this son that was without a father, was lame in the feet, and he took him to his heart. He was caring for him. And now, the same thing in the case of Barzillai, along with Maker and Shobi, they all three look upon the need of David, and they send him abundance of gifts. Had I just read 2 Samuel 17, I would have thought it was something that happened one time. But when you read further, it speaks about his provisions while David lay at Mahanaim. And so it was probably a steady supply of provisions. Now think of that. Hastily fleeing from Jerusalem, he goes and finds safety in Mahanaim, but no thought has been taken for feeding and clothing and caring for those that are accompanying him. But God has his eye upon David, and he sends his assistance by these three men, and they give him an abundance of provisions. Now, here is why I want you to understand about the importance of these things. I told you how many they were, how varied they were, but think a few days before, when David is in his castle in Jerusalem. Suppose somebody had come then with beds and earthen vessels and kettles and barley and wheat and parched grain. Tell me, what would that have meant to the king? He would say, I don't need these things. Look at my castle. Look, I have all the things that I need. But there was this time in the life of David when he had nothing. And that's why it was so important, that the opportunity when David had need, and what king has need, only in special cases. Someday I want to tell you about this. If I told you, it would be startling and unbelievable. But when David told his son Solomon the provision that he had made for the temple, do you know how much wealth David had accumulated? 12 million pounds of gold. You say, how could that be? A talent is 120 pounds, and he had 100,000 talents that he had provided of gold for the building of the temple. And so, if you have 12 million pounds of gold, and somebody brings you a bed and a kettle and an earthenware container, what would that mean to you? You would say, nothing. But what if you were fleeing for your life and you had not where to lay your head and you had nothing to eat, as David did when he fled to Ahimelech, the high priest? What about then? You say, well, gifts are different importance at different times. And that is why it is so important at this time. As a servant of the Lord, there are times when a gift is of the greatest importance. At other times, there is abundance, and you are able to give gifts to other people. In the case of Barzillai, here is David at the time of need, and Barzillai with his friends
is there to meet that need.
But was it worth it?
Let's see what was involved. You saw what Saul did to Ahimelech and 85 in the town of Nob and all the inhabitants. He slaughtered them all. And so when Barzillai took his stand for this king that was being chased by Absalom and his army, he risked his life, his provision, his children, everything. And David did not fail to take that into account. So, this is another interesting point, is that three came at first when David went to Mahanaim in his flight. But then at the end of the war, when David's coming back, it makes no record at all about Shobi and Maker coming again. Why? Well, it really isn't necessary. The war is over and he's on his way home. But think of this old man, 80 years of age, having to travel 25 miles and not in the transportation that we have. However, it was, he traveled all of these miles just to be with David as he approached the Jordan and crossed the river, and then he would go back home again. Now that is a lovely thought. I wonder how many people think that much of you and me. You're leaving? Well, goodbye. But here is David, who has successfully ended the war, and he's going back home. And this old man travels the 25 miles, and he is with David, and I take it that he and David are on this ferry boat going over the Jordan River. And as they're going, this thought comes into David's heart. He says, Barzillai, you've done all of this for me. He said, now, let me tell you what I want to do for you. I want to take you to Jerusalem, and I will make provision for you, and you may be there with me as long as you live. Do you see this generosity in the case of David? Had it been any other time, he would never have thought of taking this man to Jerusalem with him. But under these circumstances, he says, you have done this much for me. He says, the least that I can do for you is to take you in your old age, and you may be royalty in my castle with all of the leaders of the nation of Israel. You come, and I'll take care of you. And then, this is one of the most beautiful portions in the Old Testament. It's the confession of an old man. You read about this in Psalm 90. You read about it in Ecclesiastes 12. You have the prayer of an old man in the Psalms. And here is one who is 80 years of age. And when he is given this opportunity to go to Jerusalem with the king, he says, what use would it be? As for my sight, I can't discern between good and bad. I can't taste with my taste buds. He said, I can't hear with my ears. I can't hear singing men and singing women. I can't taste and appreciate all the delicate food and the preparation. And not only that, if you showed me something that is good or bad, with my eyesight, I couldn't tell the difference. He said, if I came to you, I would just be a burden to you. No. He said, I want you to do this. Just let me go with you on the ferry boat across the river Jordan, and then let me go back home to be where my father and mother lived and died, and I want to die there and be buried with my parents. And he said, but, and this is most important, he was not alone, but his son, Chimham, and evidently other sons as well, because when you read in 1 Kings 2, it speaks about Barzillai and his sons that came with him. And so his sons were there, and evidently Chimham is his firstborn, his eldest son. Now think of this. All of it happened so suddenly and so unexpectedly that David says, come with me to Jerusalem. And Barzillai said, no, no. But his son, Chimham, is there with him. He says, but you can do for him what you were going to do for me. Now, if his son were not there, I do not believe that he would say, but back home, he was right there with him. And so he says, now do for Kimham what you were going to do for me. David said, I will do everything for him that you ask, whatever you demand, and I'll do for you anything that you need. And so Barzillai accepted that gracious gift of the king. And so they got across the river, and it's time for David and those in the ferry boat to get out. And I take it that Kimham and his father would stay in the boat, and they would ferry him back across the Jordan on the eastern side, and then he would go home and live the rest of his life and die and have his will fulfilled. Now think of this. Think of the excellency of this man, because I remember in Luke chapter 9, the Savior speaking to a young man. He said to him, follow me. And he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Now, Kimham could have said, I can't go. I have to go and bury you. And at the same time, the father could say, I'm not going to let my son go. I'm 80 years old. I need somebody to care for me in my old age. And I love this son of mine. Do you remember how much Jacob loved Benjamin and he didn't want to let him out of his sight? And so here is Barzillai with Kimham, and he says to him, let him go. And David says, yes. And at that moment, the father and son are parted. And what father would make that sacrifice for his children? How many of us want to keep our children clustered around us? It doesn't matter if they could have an advantage going away from us and leaving us to die alone. But what happens is this, that this man is of such a stature that he thinks of the future of his children and he says, take him. And not only does David accept this son, but it says in 1 Kings chapter 2, Kimham and his brothers, all the sons of Barzillai, I want you to show kindness unto them. And I want them to be at your table. So think now what has happened. It is not just eating with David in his castle. That goes on for a brief period of time. But what happens is that his son, in all his grandeur, and in all the opulence of his kingdom and the splendor with the magnificent temple, they are the ones that sit. And when the Queen of Sheba comes and all the guests are there, the children of Barzillai are sitting at Solomon's table. And just before he dies, in 1 Kings 2, it says this, just before he died, I want you to do this in remembrance of Barzillai for what he did for me. One other thing, because there are other references to him, but in Jeremiah 41, there is a reference to this man, and it says that he had a place near Bethlehem, and all of these years later, he is there. And you'll find also in Ezra chapter 2 that Barzillai is mentioned again and his descendants. One thing about him is this, and we never knew that, that somehow, because of marriage or in the family, there was the blood of the priests in the veins of Barzillai and his children. And this is some 500 years later. And when it does happen, you'll find that they want to be priests when they come back. The temple has been destroyed, and now they're coming back. And it says that those that are descended from the priests want to come back and function as priests. But it says this, we've looked and we cannot find your genealogy. And because of that, you are corrupted from the priesthood. You see, what had happened was this. They could have taken both names, but they took the name of Barzillai. And in doing that, why, if I could trace my ancestry through Barzillai back to King David and King Solomon, that's the important thing. And so they had traced their genealogy through Barzillai. But concerning the priestly blood that was with them, they had failed to take care of that genealogy. And they were unable to prove what was evidently true. And so they said, no, we'll have to wait for the Urim and the Thummim, and then we will ascertain whether your genealogy is correct. So this is a little bit about the life and death of Barzillai. Some, like Moses, begin life when they're 80 years old. And some, like Barzillai, are ready to die when they're about 80 years old. But perhaps the best thing in their lives is waiting until the last. He thought he had experienced great things for the first 80 years, but now suddenly he is brought into the presence of the king, and he's able to do the king a favor, and then how great a reward for the thought that he took for the king. And so for all of us who say, I've lived my whole life long and have received no great things, well, maybe if you live to 80, perhaps then good things will come into your life. And think how this man is quite satisfied and is quite willing to face up to the reality of life. He said, I understand now that my physical frame is failing. I can't see, I can't taste, I can't smell, I can't hear. He said, all of these things, he said, they're gone. And he said, and I'm going to die. And what I want is to die where my father and mother are and to be buried with them. He's quite satisfied, not complaining to God, why didn't you give me good health? Why didn't you give me special strength like you gave Moses? Nothing like that at all. He just says, all my physical abilities are failing, and now I'm an old man, and I know I'm going to die, and I just want to be next to my father and mother when I die. And yet some fight and hang on, and yet that isn't what God would have us to do. When Paul thought of dying, he said, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And this man had no such thought in his heart, but he was quite prepared. Now he has a chance to give his children a position in the world and know that they are cared for. They're in the presence of the king and his son. And so I can go and my mind is at ease. And I parted from the king with a kiss and his blessing. So this is a brief examination of the life of Barzillai the Gileadite.